Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, that's one of the great stories of the Bible. When I was young, about 4 or 5 years of age, I remember my mum and dad telling me stories from the Bible. Night after night after night, there was another story. The Bible is packed with stories. I've read some of the religious books of other religions. Oh, they're doing their best, but there's no stories in them. We got stories in the Bible. We love them because they point us, of course, to the God the Father, God the Son, and also God the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. It's wonderful to have these stories that remind us again and again. I'm very grateful to Stephen, our dear vicar, for inviting me to give this all-age talk today. I haven't done that before here, but it's a joy to do it. I'm going to show you a picture. I draw my pictures, in a way. This particular picture, I'm going to put on what's called a teasel graph. I got a man to make this for me, some years ago. He was a woodwork expert. I said, make me a display board that I can show pictures on. So he designed it for me. Well, I designed it, he built it. And it's quite useful because I can turn it around. If there's somebody in the band who couldn't see, they can see. You can see over there, I hope. And we'll have a picture of what we just read a moment ago in this wonderful story, the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 8, about a man called Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Let's start away. You see, what happened was that God's messenger, God's angelic messenger, an angel, said to Philip, who had been preaching his head off up north, up in Samaria. He was a wonderful preacher. He was a Greek man. Anyone here from Greece? No. Anyone been to Ethiopia here? Yeah, I've been to Ethiopia. Very high up. You can go up to 9,000 feet, and so that's why they produce some of the best athletes in the world, because they're used to running high up, and when they get down, more oxygen and all the rest of it. So, Ethiopia, yes, a eunuch was usually a courtier, set aside for a dedicated work, usually didn't marry, he was a single man, just dedicated to his work. And this particular courtier, well, I'll tell you about him in a minute. What the angel of the Lord said to Philip was, leave all this preaching, all those people, I want you to go to one person. I've got a job for you to do, down south. One person. Not all these people, one. Go south on the desert road that goes from Jerusalem to a place called Gaza. Anyone been to Gaza? Yeah. There are a few people. Well, I don't know how you boys and girls would ever draw a desert road. Difficult to draw a desert anyway. I started by doing the mountains at the side because that's easier. So often a desert will have a mountain just nearby. And that's I can't do sand. It's difficult to do sand, but I can do a mountain. So imagine now this mountain, the mountainside, that the desert, of course, is right in front of us here, all down here, the desert. And, there we are. And I'll leave the sun out. What else do they have in desert? Well, usually they have, Pam and I, my wife and I, we were in the high desert in California recently. Nothing to see, except bits of scrub, not much. So some of these deserts, they'll have cactuses. There's thorny plants, of course. And we have those, of course, regularly in deserts, I'm sure. And then what was happening? The road to Gaza. So this angel messenger of God says to Philip, leave where you are. Get down on the road that leads to Gaza, a desert road. Well, that's what he did. Gaza. That was what he had to do. Go to Gaza and I'll let you know who you're going to speak to. He didn't know. It's 60 miles south from Samaria down to that road. How long is the marathon? How many miles? 26, thank you. 26 miles. This is more than that. It's a long marathon. Now again, girls and boys, how would you draw Philip? See, he was a Greek, a friend of the apostles, the 12 disciples, and they commissioned him to be one of their great helpers. You try and draw one at lunchtime, when you have dinner. See if you can draw a Greek messenger of God. This is how I've tried to draw him. Best I can, there he is on the road, heading off towards Gaza. And he must have been tired. Think of it, trudging 60 miles. I don't think he went on a camel or anything like that. He was just going along, doing his best to get to this place, well, on the road to Gaza. He was going to end up at a place called Azotus. He didn't know that either. But just on he was going. That's what missionaries do. Missionaries sometimes, we were hearing about DAI a moment ago, work all over the world. People often sent to where they don't quite know where they're going to go. But God helps them. Well, on this particular occasion, of course, there was this tremendous moment when Philip was going along and the angel of the Lord said to him, and how did he speak to him? Maybe just in his mind he heard a voice. Go down on that road and follow that chariot in the distance. I've tried to draw a chariot. It probably looked like something like this. There we are. A chariot with a couple of horses. And when he first saw it, he probably couldn't see who was in the chariot. Later on, he was going to see who it was that was sitting there in the chariot on their road from Jerusalem and right through. So, we think about that for a moment. He sees the chariot. The angel of the Lord says, join yourself to that chariot. Then finally, he begins to run because he finds he can't keep up with the chariot. There are horses there. They go faster than human beings. So finally, Philip starts running on that road. Then he sees who it is who's there in the chariot. It's an Ethiopian eunuch, one of the courtiers from Ethiopia. And Candace, the queen mother, was in charge. She's part of the royal family there. And he was the treasurer. He looked after all the money. A very important man in Ethiopia. The money man. Oh, my. Well, when he saw that, he began to run. He began to run as fast as he possibly could. And as he got nearer to the chariot, then he realized he heard the voice of... See, here is the Ethiopian. Here's his servant who's carrying the little brolly over him to keep the sun off. So a very important man. He had to have a servant. I'll keep the sun off you, master. You're doing that. But then, also, the next thing was that Philip heard what the man was reading. He was reading from a book. A scroll spread out, reading it out loud, and what he was reading was words from the Bible, from the book of the prophet Isaiah, words that had been written 700 years before Jesus was born. So what he read was, as we heard in the reading, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is dumb, he did not open up his mouth. And then he goes on, who can speak of his descendants? His life was taken. Somebody who had died, a good person, a wonderful person, who had died, been put to death. So, as he gets nearer, he tries to stop the chariot. He says, excuse me, I got something to say to you. Could you stop? You ever done that when you were running, and there's somebody in front of you, and they're going still on. They can't stop. So Philip is saying, excuse me, could you... And finally, he gets a little closer, then he hears at the right moment what the man was reading. And Philip said to himself, I know that bit of the Bible, the old Bible, that Isaiah was reading. I know that bit. Do you know, friends, I know that bit too. When I became a follower of the Lord Jesus, personally, for the first time, made Jesus the best friend of my life, I was listening to a man called Mr. Nash, and he drew attention to this very chapter, chapter 53 of Isaiah, and he explained about the cross. And he said to us all, now where are your sins? This person has taken your sins. Where are they? I thought, yeah, I like what he says. He talked about accepting Jesus into our lives. I thought, I'll do what that man says tonight. I was very shy. I couldn't tell anybody what I was doing. But I sat up in bed, and I thought, this is the moment. And as best I knew how, I thanked Jesus for dying for me on the cross. And I asked him to come into my life, to forgive me my sins. I woke up next morning, I thought, I just feel just the same, actually. Has anything changed? I thought, yes, it has. I have made a big decision about Jesus. That was when I looked back to that time with Mr. Nash. I wonder who it might have been for else here. Excuse me. And he runs up and he can just hear the bit of Isaiah being read. And then he says, excuse me, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I understand? I need somebody to help. Whoa. That was the moment. That was the moment. So, next thing is, the Ethiopian is there, of course, in his chariot. And Philip says, can I have a lift? Can I have a lift? He needed a lift after 60 miles of traveling. Whoa. Can I have a lift? I said, yeah, come on. It's often like that. It starts with one question. Jesus did that once for a lady who was by a well. Jesus went up to her and said, can I have a drink? She gave him a drink. And that led to Jesus introducing himself to her as the one who forgives sins and is the Son of God. Well, so that's what happened. You see the next bit of it. Here they are sitting together. Sitting together in the chariot. And they've still got the umbrella up. There's the servant. There's the Ethiopian. Yes, he was from Ethiopia. He was an African. And there is Philip, sitting now just by him. And so, as they sit together, what happens is Philip is beginning to do some explaining. He says, I'll tell you about this. And then it says in our reading, he opened his mouth. You can't do anything until you open your mouth. He opened his mouth, but sometimes it's brave to do that. To say to somebody something about Christ and your best friend. To say, I'd like to just tell you something about what I believe. That's what he did. You know, when that man comes on May the 14th to help people here to understand, how do I share what I believe one-to-one? Well, let's make the most of that opportunity. If we possibly can. We need all the help we can get. Philip had no help, but he did know the Bible. So he sat down and started to tell the man about Jesus. The best thing he could have done. The man loved what he heard. So it was Jesus who was the one who was put to death and who left this life. For me.
For you.
Can I believe him?
Yes.
He got as far as understanding even about baptism. So I could be baptized as a believer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, then he said, here's some water, here's a well. Could I be baptized now?
Yep.
So Philip gets out the chariot, takes him down to the well, baptizes him, and then what we read is that Philip was sped away by God's messenger. His job was done. And so the Ethiopian then travels on his way. Where to? Well, the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, desert road, past Egypt and into Africa. Perhaps you say, did he get across the Suez Canal? No, there was no Suez Canal in those days. hadn't been made. He just went straight on down into Africa. That's how the good news came into Africa. One man. One man talking to another man. And that's how it started. The Ethiopians must be very grateful today. So as I finish off, you see, what happened? What's the clue behind the Ethiopian coming to have Jesus as his best friend forever? Well, first of all, you see, you think about it, he'd been to the right place. He'd been to Jerusalem. That's where he'd come from. And he must have gone to try and learn more about God, because he knew that Jerusalem was a holy place where they knew about God. So he went to the right place. Secondly, he got that book of Isaiah. He must have bought it there. And so he read the right book. That's actually what we do when we want to introduce people to faith in God through Jesus Christ. Bible. Always the Bible. Bible help. Boys and girls, make the Bible be the book of your life. Pam and I try to. He went to the right place, read the right book, and thirdly, also we can say, he got help from the right person. There was a person to help him, and that was Philip. Isn't that wonderful when it's one-to-one? Most times when I say to somebody, how did you start with Jesus? How did you come to know him? What happened? And they usually say, I had a friend. Somebody helped. Might have been a sermon, of course, like when he was preaching there in Samaria, but one-to-one, God had a special purpose. I want you to talk to this one person. And that will bring him to me, and that will bring me to Ethiopia, and that will bring Ethiopia to Africa. The right place, the right book, the right person, that was the clue. Think about it, friends, one-to-one. See, when I think about Pam here, my wife, with her, tell us the name of the lady. Maud Hall, who was then in her 20s. Pam was young, as young as some of you, but she stayed behind after a service. And she said, I want to know more about Jesus. Maud Hall had a very sweet, holy face, Pam says. And she stayed with her, helped her, prayed with her. That started things off. How grateful we are for that. For one person. You could be that one person. You could be that one person to somebody else one day. Who knows? That the angel of the Lord may say to you, join yourself to that person. Have a word. That's how it's done. Let's now sing together.